Grieg, sung by Katharina Karnaeus with Julius Drake at the piano. This is BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and online. And now it's time for Late Junction with Anna Hilda Nesset.
Sonata No. 16 from John Cage's piano masterpiece, Sonatas and Interludes, performed by Margaret Leng Tan. Screws and bolts, pieces of rubber, pieces of plastic, nuts and erasers are among the objects placed between the piano strings for the performance of this sonata. Welcome to the last of this week's special Cage editions of Late Junction with me, Anna Hilda Nesset. Cage's composer friend Lou Harrison was a pioneer in the use of alternate tunings. He was inspired by world music and shared Cage's interest in Eastern philosophy. We're going to hear a piece by Harrison called Palace Music from Suite for National Steel Guitar, here performed by John Schneider. Another piece by Lou Harrison, Bowl Bells, a part of Vary Trio for violin, piano and percussion, performed by Tamitam Percussion Ensemble, conducted by Guido Facchin. Before that, the unmistakable voice of the great mezzo-soprano, Kathy Barbarian, singing Cage's piece A Flower, with some of the instructions in the score read, like a pigeon and like a wild duck. Composer Larry Austin dedicated this piece to his friend and mentor, John Cage. It's written only using the notes C, A, G, and E, and its title is taken from Cage's assertion that art is self-alteration. This is Larry Austin's Art is Self-Alteration is Cage is...
dot dot dot.
That was Larry Austin's Art is Self-Alteration is Cage is... And this is Late Junction in our celebration of John Cage's 100th anniversary. For details and everything we've played, go to the Radio 3 website. Indeterminacy was originally recorded in 1959 with David Tudor playing the piano and electronics and John Cage reading aloud 90 stories, each lasting 1 minute. The setup is Cage reading stories plucked randomly from cue cards as David Tudor in a different room played a mashup of Fontana mix and concert for piano and orchestra. Here's an extract. Listen out for how Cage speeds up and slows down his speech in order to stay within his 1 minute deadline.
One evening when I was still living at Grand Street and Monroe, Isamu Noguchi came to visit me. There was nothing in the room, no furniture, no paintings. The floor was covered, wall to wall, with cocoa matting. The windows had no curtains, no drapes. Isamu Noguchi said, an old shoe would look beautiful in this room. You probably know the one about the two monks, but I'll tell it anyway. They were walking along one day when they came to a stream where a young lady was waiting, hoping that someone would help her across. Without hesitating, one of the monks picked her up and carried her across, putting her down safely on the other side. The two monks continued walking along, and after some time, the second one, unable to restrain himself, said to the first, you know we're not allowed to touch women. Why did you carry that woman across the stream? The first monk replied, put her down. I did 2 hours ago. Once, when several of us were driving up to Boston, we stopped at a roadside restaurant for lunch. There was a table near a parlor window where we could all look out and see a pond. People were swimming and diving. There were special arrangements for sliding into the water. Inside the restaurant was a jukebox. Somebody put a dime in. I noticed that the music that came out accompanied the swimmers, though they didn't hear it. One day when the windows were open, Christian Wolff played one of his pieces at the piano. Sounds of traffic, boat horns, were heard not only during the silences in the music, but being louder, were more easily heard than the piano sounds themselves. Afterward, someone asked Christian Wolff to play the piece again with the windows closed. Christian Wolff said he'd be glad to, but that it wasn't really necessary, since the sounds of the environment were in no sense an interruption of those of the music. One evening I was walking along Hollywood Boulevard, nothing much to do. I stopped and looked in the window of a stationery shop. A mechanized pen was suspended in space in such a way that as a mechanized roll of paper passed by it, the pen went through the motions of the same penmanship exercises I had learned as a child in the third grade. Centrally placed in the window was an advertisement explaining the mechanical reasons for the perfection of the operation of the suspended mechanical pen. I was fascinated, for everything was going wrong. The pen was tearing the paper to shreds and spattering ink all over the window and on the advertisement, which nevertheless remained legible. It was after I got to Boston that I went into the anechoic chamber at Harvard University. Anybody who knows me knows this story. I am constantly telling it. Anyway, in that silent room, I heard two sounds, one high and one low. Afterward, I asked the engineer in charge why, if the room was so silent, I had heard two sounds. He said, "Describe them." I did. He said, "The high one was your nervous system in operation. The low one was your blood in circulation." Years ago in Chicago, I was asked to accompany two dancers who were providing entertainment at a business women's dance party given in a hall of the YWCA. After the entertainment, the jukebox was turned on so everybody could dance. There was no orchestra, they were saving money. However, the goings-on became very expensive. One of the arms in the jukebox moved a selected record onto the turntable. The playing arm moved to an extraordinarily elevated position. After a slight pause, it came down rapidly and heavily on the record, smashing it. Another arm came into the situation and removed the debris. The first arm moved another selected record onto the turntable. The playing arm moved up again, paused, came down quickly, smashing the record. The debris was removed by the third arm, and so on. And meanwhile, all the flashing colored lights associated with jukeboxes worked perfectly, making the whole scene glamorous. After he finished translating into German the first lecture I gave at Darmstadt last September, Christian Wolff said, "The stories at the end are very good. But they'll probably say you're naive. I do hope you can explode that idea." Down in Greensboro, North Carolina, David Tudor and I gave an interesting program. We played five pieces three times each. They were the Klavierstück 11 by Karlheinz Stockhausen, Christian Wolff's Duo for Pianists, Martin Feldman's Intermission No. 6, Earl Brown's Four Systems, and my Variations. All of these pieces are composed in various ways that have in common indeterminacy of performance. Each performance is unique, as interesting to the composers and performers as to the audience. Everyone, in fact, becomes a listener. I explained all this to the audience before the musical program began. I pointed out that one is accustomed to thinking of a piece of music as an object suitable for understanding and subsequent evaluation, but that here the situation was quite other. These pieces, I said, are not objects, but processes essentially purposeless. Naturally, then, I had to explain the purpose of having something purposeless. I said the sounds were just sounds, and that if they weren't just sounds, I was, of course, using the editorial we would do something about it in the next composition. I said that since the sounds are sounds, this gave people hearing them the chance to be people centered within themselves where they actually are, not off artificially in the distance as they are accustomed to be, trying to figure out what is being said by some artist by means of sounds. Finally, I said that the purpose of this purposeless music would be achieved if people learned to listen, that when they listened, they might discover that they preferred the sounds of everyday life to the ones they were about to hear in the musical program that that was all right as far as I was concerned. However, to come back to my story, a girl in college there came backstage afterward and told me that something marvelous had happened. I said, what? She said, one of the music majors is thinking for the first time in her life. Then at dinner, it was an afternoon concert, the head of the music department told me that as he was leaving the concert hall, three of his students called, saying, come over here. He went over. What is it? He said. One of the girls said, listen. During that Greensboro concert, David Tudor and I got a little mixed up. He began to play one piece. And I began to play a completely different one. I stopped, since he is the pianist, he is. And I just sat there, listening.
Indeterminacy, with David Tudor playing the piano and tape and John Cage reading stories, each lasting 1 minute. Smithsonian Folkways is a label which most people associate with artists like Peggy Seeger and Woody Guthrie, and they released the piece in 1959. Back in March this year, English National Opera put on Cage's Musi Circus. This is a large-scale happening where musicians are invited to perform a number of works at the same time. Filling four floors of the Colosseum in London, in the bars, in the corridors, the toilets and stairwells, were musicians of all kinds playing to timing charts created from Cage's precise instructions. Over the 2 hours, the hundreds of performers played and stopped and played and stopped, creating washes of sound throughout the building. Lake Junction was there to record it. With over 50 microphones, we eavesdropped on the whole experience to create a recording of a wander through the ENO Musi Circus from the very top of the building to the very bottom. You'll hear Led Zeppelin bassist John Paul Jones, composer and pianist Michael Finnessy, mushroom specialist Dr. Stefan Buchatsky, violinist Dara Morgan, some of the ENO performing groups, mezzo-soprano Valerie Reed. There's a whole host of performers, all of which we've detailed on the Lake Junction website. There's even a chess champion, William Watson. But now, this is an unedited wander through a building full of musicians, all watching their stopwatches and performing John Cage's Musi Circus.
For a variety of Bacillus mycetes, the number of spores produced by one fruit body, such as the one in the picture here, ranging from 10 to the 9 to more than 10 to the 12 spores per fruit and body.
lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. Surely some revelation is at hand. Surely the second coming is at hand. The second coming. Hardly are those words out when a vast image of Spiritus Mundi troubles my sight. Somewhere in sands of the desert, a shape, the blind body and the head of a man, a gaze blank and pitiless as the sun, is moving its slow thighs, while all about it, real shadows of the indignant desert birds. The darkness drops again, but now I know that 20 centuries of stony sleep were vexed to nightmare by a rocking cradle. And what rough beast, its hour come round at last, slouches towards Bethlehem to be born.
Each piano is prepared differently, although, as a matter of focus, the parts could be played without bothering to prepare the piano or pianos. If prepared, then, generally, The preparations will be altered in the course of the performance. The principle called mobility immobility is this. Everything is changing, but while some things are changing, others are not. Changing. Begin suddenly to change. Et vice versa ad infinitum, a technique to be useful, skillful, that is, must be such that it fails. To control the elements subjected to it. Otherwise, it is apt to become unclear, and listening is best in a state of mental emptiness.
Okay.
Then he gets up to have a cup of coffee.
Are you really?
Anyway, he has to have a cup of coffee.
Hello?
He goes to the table.
He knocks
your coffee
over
on your lap.
All right, mate.
Okay?
Cheers.
So he knocks the coffee.
Just shut up, please. This is too long. I know sometimes I've got to say something. Thank you. I drink Dr. Pepper, don't you know? It's my most favorite drink, I told you so. If you want a pepper, that's where to go. I'm a pepper, you're a pepper, don't you want to be a pepper too? Dr. Pepper, drink Dr. Pepper. Dr. Pepper, drink Dr. Pepper.
Thank you.
The sound of John Cage's Music Circus, recorded in March this year and presented by English National Opera with artistic direction from Stephen Montague and visuals from Alex Julian. There's a full list of performers involved on the Lake Junction website, as well as pictures from the event. We've come to the end of this week's Lake Junction John Cage celebration. I'll leave you with an unusual take on Cage's music. Brazilian composers Chico Melo and Silvia Okunye imagine a different kind of music circus where the music is plucked from Brazilian standards, a kind of collective Brazilian memory captured in a Cagean universe. Melo says of its composition, "It's highly emotional music for me, a kind of huge pot of memory somehow lost or floating in time. In this sense, we could imagine John Cage at the beach enjoying simultaneously all these musics, the flowing of time and of water." With Mello's image of Cage on the beach in mind, I bid you good night.
Mas se você quer brigar e acha que com isso estou sofrendo, mas se enganou, meu bem, pode fingir que eu estou vivendo. Mas se você quer brigar e acha que com isso estou sofrendo. De sócio num clube. Ele era louco pra entrar. Daí ele foi.
Usado Brás como se casariou e me convidaram com uma quadrilha e uma caria. Macariei uma quadrilha ritmada, fui a pé de madrugada, todo mundo com seu paria. Alavantinho, cheio de dama, nana, harie, cantei coco pra valer. Todo mundo com seu paria. Alavantinho, cheio de dama, nana, harie, cantei coco pra valer. Todo mundo com seu paria. Cantariei na festa de casamento da filha de Pedro Bento, na fazenda Caio Caria. Usado Brás, noivo muito animado, logo depois de...
Quase largo a mão. Gostaria só de fazer uma pequena reclamação.
Nunca vi fazer tanta exigência, nem vi ser o que você me dá.
Mas se você
meu deixa coração.
Você quer brigar e
acha que é mais feliz quando te vê e os meus olhos ficam só pelas
toda vez que queria cortar minha unha do pé, me contava uma piada no português. O português queria
entrar no sócio.
Ele era louco para entrar sócio nesse clube.
Me fazer o que ouço,
ele foi até o clube. Ele foi
você
até
o não sabe o que é consciência. Não vê que eu sou um pobre rapaz. Você só pensa em luz e rei. Tudo que você vê, você quer.
Eu estou sofrendo.
Ai, meu Deus, que saudade da
mulher.
Ilusinha que é mulher. Às vezes passava fome a meu lado. Começou a circular o expresso 2222. Olha aqui. Para lá lá bamba. Para. Para vai lá lá bamba sem necessito. Olha que coisa. Para vai lá lá bamba sem necessito na poca de graça. Na corte gerê porte.
Olha que coisa.
Para balá lá bamba. Passe necessito na. Olha que coisa.
Eu não tô fazendo nada.
Eu faço sangue, amor, até mais tarde. E eu faço sangue, amor, até mais tarde. E tenho muito. fazer tanta exigência. Começou a circular o expresso, 2-2-2-2. Olha que coisa mais linda, mais cheia de graça. É. Bonito me bebia neste um estranho. Eu de nervoso, tudo que ficando cá.
Hello and welcome to BBC Radio 3 Through the Night with me, Jonathan Swain. Down under for this opening concert, one from the Melbourne Town Hall in Australia in September 2010. The Melbourne Symphony Orchestra, directed by the young Canadian violinist James Ennis. The main fare being James Ennis leading a complete performance of Vivaldi's Four Seasons. Before it, Elgar's Serenade for Strings. Ennis is no stranger to Elgar. His recording of the Violin Concerto a few years ago rightly won glowing reviews. And first of all, Ennis and the Melbourne Players in Beethoven's Romances for Violin and Orchestra. Both of them, they're from just a few years before the Violin Concerto. And this is number one in G major.
Thank you.
Music making from Melbourne Town Hall in Australia in 2010. James Ennis directing the Melbourne Symphony Orchestra from the violin in Beethoven's Romance in G Major, what's known as his Romance No. 1, even though it was probably written after his so-called Romance No. 2. No details have survived about the dates of their first performances, but the G Major Romance appeared in print in 1803 and this F Major one in 1805.